Welcome, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back. Here it is, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're here until 1 o'clock every night on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. I thought we were going to can that, bud.
Oh, got to take the copy out of here.
Yeah. Get that stuff out of here. I don't want those old slogans. Get them out of here, man. We're not using that anymore, all right? As I said, we're done. Finished. Fini. All right, let's bring on one of our great and treasured sponsors, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Yeah.
Oh, good.
A Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
This is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills. You know, the Super Bowl is coming up this weekend. Where would you rather be than Ted's of Beverly Hills in the prime rib room, having a Ted, having one of those delicious steaks with the greatest steak knife that I've been in the
country? We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Now, hold up for a minute, Phil, because I think what I need to do right now, and forgive me, but this often happens when I'm on your program, and I don't know why it is just on your show, because it doesn't happen on anybody else's show, but the thing that really that frusts me is I usually have, here we go, okay, fine, I'm good now.
What was going on?
What was going on is I was looking for the car sound effect.
What do you mean the car sound effect?
Well, I'm not in the kitchen, I'm driving.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, and I had no. I don't want people to think I'm standing in the kitchen like they usually do, listening to me, giving you and Margaret and everybody my opinion on the events of the world. But in point of fact, I'm actually at an HPV right now. I'm driving a Mercedes McLaren, and I'm a very, very lucky man. I just want to say this, Phil, if I could just take a moment. To everybody listening to the Phil Hendry broadcast here this evening, I'm a very lucky man. I know that we're going through a recession. I know that there are very, very tough times that a lot of Americans are facing. I know that many of you are out of work. I know that many of you have lost homes. I know that many of you have lost businesses. I think it is one of the great tragedies of life that sometimes these economic downturns can destroy whole families, can ruin dreams. And I can only hope that the times that we're living through improve rapidly for all of you out there that are going through these very, as I said, very difficult times. Now, having said that, I'm a very fortunate man. My restaurant has done well. We have continued to grow our business. Maybe it's the business I'm in, Phil. The fact is, I own a beautiful home. My wife and my son want for nothing. I'm able to spend some of the money that I make on toys like this car I'm in, the Mercedes McLaren. You've heard of it, right, Phil?
I have, yes, yes.
All right, well, that wasn't a very resounding yes.
Well, I mean, it's a very, very expensive automobile.
It is. It is the single, it's the most expensive Mercedes, isn't it, Ted?
Pardon?
I said it's the most expensive Mercedes.
That is exactly, it's a 300, it's a 400, what's the most expensive Rolls Royce? I don't know. What is it, Phil, do you know?
I don't know. The most expensive Rolls, maybe about 400 grand.
All right, well, this is 450,000.
Phil, you just said that to...
Wait. I want to make some. Do I got to talk?
Yes, you talk to everybody that's on my show. Yes.
All right. What did you say? Whatever. What is it, Bud?
Yeah, you said you just made it more money to make it sound like your car is better.
What did he?
You heard him, Ted. You asked for the most expensive
Well, hold on for a minute. What are you? You know, you heard him, Ted. I'm Ted Bell. I'm on your show. I just talked about Mercedes McLaren. I'm talking about, oh, man. Let's just line this up in order again. Margaret?
Yes, Ted, I'm here.
All right, Robert?
I'm right here, sir.
All right, I know that Dickman, who's the one with the big mouth. Is that Dickman?
That was Bud, yeah.
All right, okay, everybody's paying attention, right?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
All right, I'm Ted Bell, okay?
Yeah, we know.
Oh, hey, sunshine. I'm Ted Bell. Now, forget it.
Well, what is so funny about that?
It just is. It's just funny. It's just funny. It's so funny that he's so petty that because somebody talked out of turn, he just hung the phone up.
But he didn't want to hang the phone up, but he did.
Yeah, he was going to, like, give a speech, and then he just got too tired, and he hung up.
He's back on the line, Mr. Henry.
Yes, Ted.
Forget that I hung up. What I want to say is, everybody paying attention?
Wait, hold on for a minute.
Come on, just forget it. Is everybody paying attention?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm right here, Miss Bell.
All right. I'm Ted Battle. Isn't there one glimmer or one spark of recognition?
I know who you are.
All right, then what are you doing asking me questions and having that one saying, you only did it. I can't understand what he's saying. It sounds like I've walked into a ward. It sounds like I've walked into one of the wings over there where they have those poor, unfortunate kids, you know, the ones that no one could do anything with. They just scream and yell all day. That's what it sounds like. Now, Phil, you know...
We didn't need that reference.
I'm sorry. You know, I'm very fortunate. All I was trying to do is say how fortunate I am.
And we know how fortunate you are. And your point is what?
My point is that I'm Ted Bell, and that, well, you know, I wanted to come on the program here, Phil, and talk a little bit with you about sports, about the Ray Lewis situation, about the Super Bowl that's coming up.
Ted, I'm sorry if... I don't understand why you're crying, though.
I don't either.
You don't understand?
No, I don't understand, man. I mean, we had you on the show. Bud butted in.
When I was talking about the... Hold on for a minute. Give me a minute.
Oh, my God.
That wasn't what you think. I was blowing my nose.
I was going to say, I thought he took his phone into the bathroom.
All right. I was going to talk with you about a couple of news stories. One was the woman that you said was going to be executed in Texas, right?
Yes.
All right. Guess what? Newsflash. No, she ain't. See, this is what I'm trying to tell you. I'm Ted Bell.
I know that they had... I believe I made that announcement.
What announcement did you make?
I said there was a stay on the execution right as soon as I started talking about it.
Yeah, well, you did, but sort of you didn't.
Yeah, you did, but you didn't. All right.
How did I... What do you mean I did, but I didn't?
Oh, you almost said, how did I did, but I didn't. You almost said that, and then I would have had you. Then you would have been mine. Because from that point forward, people would think you were nothing more than a highly evolved gloid, and I was the host of the show. Just from you saying, I almost did, but I didn't, well, you know.
No, Ted, just what is the point that you're trying to make? Because even I'm beginning to get irritated.
The point that I'm trying to make is that woman that was to be executed in Texas, there has been a stay of execution. That's number one. Number two, Mr. Henry, who claims to be an advocate of the death penalty, is finding fault with the fact that they want to keep their options open in Texas by essentially saying they may hang her, they may do lethal injection. They haven't made up their mind yet.
And I don't think that's what they're saying at all. Okay? I think that that's cruel and unusual.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you don't think that's what they're saying? What did you read in that story?
What I read in the story, Doug, was that the state of Texas was planning on executing this woman. There was a stay of execution today. She was scheduled for execution today. And the very conflicting part in the news story that said she was going to be the first woman executed by way of lethal injection, and then she would be the first woman who would be hanged, okay?
Well, first of all, you carved that up. It's hung, not hanged.
No, it isn't. It's hanged.
No, it's... Ted's right. It's hung. And don't look... See what he did? You see what Bud did?
He's not doing anything, Margaret.
He's given me the...
Is he looking at you? You know, Margaret, you're not much... Well, I better not say, but I tell you something, Dickman. If I find out that you were looking her up and down as we said the words hung...
All right, listen to me, and listen very carefully. I'm not going to say this again. I don't want to hear any more references to Bud looking you up and down when he says something that you think is suggestive, okay?
What do you mean I think?
Well, if you say in a word, you're the guy that is emphasizing hanged, it forces us to emphasize hung.
You're wrong. You're using the word wrong. It's hanged. Number two, I believe the news story is badly reported. I don't think Texas is keeping their options open. I think there's something squirrely about this news story, okay?
So you don't think that the state of Texas, and I'm Ted Bell, and when I say that I'm Ted Bell, it's almost like it sounds like I'm saying I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. So, you know, you may want to separate yourself from Doug a little bit.
Well, how about that? So, in other words, I'm gay. Is that it?
Yeah, a little bit. All you're doing is sounding gay. And
well, you know something? Now you know, just not only is this guy got a... Not only does this guy have... not only has he got a metal head, but he's a bigot.
Oh, I don't know why you let those people on the air.
Those people? That's a sponsor of mine.
Well, I don't know why he's a sponsor then.
Ted's okay most of the time. Most of the time. All right, well, we'll look into just exactly if they execute this woman, McCarthy, what method they'll use. Not that, you know, my whole point is the death penalty. I got no problem with the death penalty. I just don't know how, you know. California had made it unconstitutional, then it became constitutional, and then they said, well, it's constitutional, but we just won't really execute anybody. And again, when a guy like Richard Ramirez has been alive for 30-plus years on death row, or going on 30 years, and this woman is going down for the count here after seven, you know, something wrong, man. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I want the steak bags back that I gave you.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're online at philhendryshow.com, and we're very happy to report tonight that we are finally live streaming over your mobile device, whether it is a Droid or an iPhone, also on iPad, also on your desktop, all kinds of different delivery platforms or places where you access the internet and other media. That's where we are. And this is 3 years after we introduced our first redesign, our first website redesign. And now here in January of 2013, 3 years after the initial redesign, we are into another one. And we are providing our subscribers now with mobile access on their iPhones. So, you know, we're really excited about that because we personally think that that is a must in terms of media for the future. And I can only again quote myself.
Oh, God, here we go again with Facebook.
Yeah, that's right. Here we go again with Facebook.
Let's give it a rest, Mr. Henry.
What do you mean, give it a rest?
No, I know I'm talking about it.
No, I'm not always talking about it. I'm going to think I think I'll talk a little bit more about it. God.
Well, you've been breaking that poor kid's castanets. Mark Zuckerberg's doing the best he can.
Oh, well, isn't that just wonderful? How dare I break the castanets of that poor kid? Poor Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. Kid's trying to make a business out of it, and what are you doing?
Oh, he's trying to make a business, trying to make it go, is he? Is he really kind of, he's got his nose to the grindstone, up every night till 2 a.m. trying to make his little tiny itsy-bitsy teeny-weeny social media business, Facebook?
And by the way, would you tell him not to call it Faceful, please?
It's only a joke.
What are you doing?
He's calling it Faceful. All it said is if you want to go find out about it, if you want to find out about Faceful, then go get some.
Did you hear that? And I have been extremely, extremely restrained.
Yeah, bud, that is absolutely uncalled for.
What? All I said was Faceful.
Don't call it Faceful, okay?
You understand what I mean? You see what I'm up against? And you think it's just a wandering eye.
Margaret, I understand that he comes up with some crude references. I also understand that just because he said the word hung and then his lazy eye wandered up and down on you.
Oh, are you going to laugh here? Look at Phil.
It's funny. I'm sorry.
It is kind of funny.
It is not funny. Try being a woman in this society of ours. Being a woman, and what happened to you? You were going to talk about something.
Oh, you mean broadcasting?
Yes.
Yeah, it is a suck business. For women, this is a lousy, rotten business. Radio is the worst business for women. The worst. The worst. Take it from me.
Why? Because you're a woman?
I'm going to belt you. No. Anybody can see it. Anyone with eyes in their head can see. Take a look at the average talk station. Take a look at the average talk station when it comes to minorities. I mean, this business is so glaringly sexist and racist, it's not even funny.
Now, you're going to get in trouble for that.
Oh, I'm not going to get in trouble for anything. Let me tell you something. That radio station in Kansas City that ran that ad for that white power scumbag. You remember that? And they said that they, well, you know, we have to run it. The law says we got to run it. No, they didn't. No, they didn't have to run it at all. They didn't have to run. Community standards dictated that they did not have to run that ad. If that was going to be patently offensive, for instance, as I'm sure it was to their African-American listeners, but in radio, they don't care about that stuff. They don't even know from race in talk radio. But here's the thing about the point I was making. Women, I was talking to a friend of mine today who is in the radio business and has been for many years, is a veteran. Many years in this business, a female, and she's also a high-profile personality, meaning she's not just reading the news and doing a lot of the things that women have been relegated to in this business. She is a high-profile morning show personality. And because, I'm telling you right now, because she's female, you know, it's almost impossible, man. It's almost impossible. It's tough enough for guys in an environment like we have now. The radio business is slowly coming apart at the seams. It's tough enough for guys to get jobs now, especially when you're talking about personality radio. But for a woman, it's just not even, doesn't even happen. Doesn't even exist, okay? Now, this is a fact. I'm not making it up. I'm not, you know, this is exactly how it is. So, yeah, to be perfectly honest, as the radio business continues to, erode, one of the areas that they will be able to look at long from now, when someone digs up the dirty, busted up relics and the wreckage of this industry, they can take a look at the lack of real initiative in hiring really creative and talented people. No women, no minorities. And on and on and on it goes. And what do you get? You got a bunch of white guys, conservative radio. That's what it is. And I don't give a damn if people don't like what I'm saying. It happens to be a fact. Even the conservatives that are on the air doing their shows, such as they are, even those guys would agree with me. It's pathetic.
Well,
Yeah, way to go, Mr. Henry.
Brownie points there, man.
What do you mean brownie points?
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I do. You got brownie points on that. But no one's going to change. Just got the brownie point.
Yeah, you did put the brownie point good.
When you're talking brownie point, don't do shorthand, all right?
Yeah, I didn't understand what you just said.
Brownie point good.
Don't say brownie point good.
What does that mean, brownie point good? I'm not trying for any brownie points, okay? I can guarantee you what I just said now ain't endeared me to anybody, man. Not even women. Because it's just too, you know, this country doesn't want to know from any of that stuff. But I'm just talking about the business that I'm in, the radio business.
I thought you said that you didn't give a damn any longer.
I don't, and I'm sorry. I went against my own. I don't. You're right. I don't care. Okay? And one more thing.
You don't care?
I don't care. 877. Yeah, David. David G. Hall on the line. David, what's up?
I just want to thank you once again, Phil, for... venting your spleen against the industry that makes, you know, selling your show.
Oh, don't give me that bull crap about selling my show. If you get up off your ass once a day to pick up the phone to try to pitch my show, it's a record breaker.
Well, that hurts. That hurts. The stuff that I've been doing...
Stuff you've been doing? What have you been doing?
Well, it's a tough market right now, okay? You know, I'm going to lunch. I'm not necessarily going to lunch on your behalf. I'm just saying, okay? Now, when you start talking about how there's no women, no minorities, all that does is get these guys angry. They go, oh, didn't I hear Henry the other night? He was talking about the radio business is racist and sexist. Yeah, sure. I'd really like to put him on the show. I'd like to put him on the air. That's what I'm going to do.
So that's the excuse this week, huh? Last week it was something else. Just face it, man. You suck.
I suck?
You suck when it comes to pitching this show. And tell me that I'm not telling the truth. When I said that I was just talking to a friend of mine, okay? It's not like I just decided I'm going to talk about this tonight. Someone was talking to me, and I'm listening to the frustration of this person as they're talking about having a U-Haul it all over the country trying to find jobs, even when the times were good.
Look, all I'm trying to tell you is when you get on the air and you start talking all of this stuff about women aren't getting this and that, and then you brought up this lady that was getting executed in Texas, and it sounded to me like you were all, you know...
I was all what?
Well, isn't she going to be executed for sticking somebody's head in a garbage disposal or whatever it was?
No, she stabbed somebody.
Yeah, but see, you're getting all sympathetic to that.
No, I'm not, man. No, I didn't. I just said, why are they killing them in Texas and not in California?
No, that's not how I heard it.
And well, you know what? Go listen to it again. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Don't hang up on me.
How did you get back on the air?
I busted off of hang up.
You busted off of hang up.
That's right. Hello?
Phil Henry.
Up and tell me, you know, don't talk about this, don't talk about that, Mr. Hall, sir. Just go out, you do your job, I'll do mine, you know? Which so far, the way it's looking, I'm doing my job, you ain't doing yours. Just get out there and pinch it, you know? And I didn't say pinch it, I said pitch it, bud.
Down like pinch it.
I don't care. I know what I said. All right, now, a couple of interesting stories, and they harken back, if you will. They have connections to our most recent past. But first, let me just get into the nuts and bolts of these stories I've been talking about. The first woman scheduled—I don't want to beat this into the ground—but the first woman scheduled to be executed in the U.S. since 2010 won a reprieve on Tuesday, hours before she was scheduled to be taken to the Texas death chamber. Larry Mitchell, a state district judge in Dallas, rescheduled Kimberly McCarthy's punishment for April 3, so lawyers for the former nursing home therapist could have more time to pursue an appeal focused on whether her predominantly white jury was improperly selected on the basis of race. McCarthy is black.
Well,
don't say it, man.
No, I'm not going to say anything, but most of the people that they put to death are black.
That's true.
Well, that is true, Phil.
I know. I'm not arguing that, yes, you're right. You know.
Yeah, but most people, well.
Don't, okay, what Bud's going to say is that most of the criminals are black.
Dude, that's why he's a racist, man. You're never going to be different.
Why? Are not most of the criminals black?
We don't know that, quote, most of the criminals are black. You got to look. It's too simple-minded to be looking at statistics that way. You cannot. If you want the truth, then you've got to look for the truth. If you want just a convenient excuse, then you're going to find it. Numbers, as they say, people always say that numbers don't lie. Numbers lie all the time. You can make them say anything you want. All right? And I don't even know. Even per capita, based on population of the percentage of the population, so on and so forth. I don't even know if that's true. But there's a hell of a lot of people that are black on death row. A lot of them are put to death. And, you know, and it ain't got nothing whatsoever to do with anything other than social economic factors, which every time you say that, people roll their eyes. But that happens to be the truth. And really, a fair amount of injustice.
So now you're saying that they're going to put a guy to death and kill him and everything on account of he being black.
It's not a guy, it's a woman.
Yeah, but at that level, it doesn't matter.
Well, that's true.
What do you mean that's true?
Well, I mean at that level.
At what level is that?
Well, by the time you're going to go to the death house, you might as well be a guy.
Yeah, if you're going to go to the death house, might as well be a guy.
Why don't you guys get out of here with your freaky notions? All right, so thank you for that piece of news. And we can only, like I say, wait and watch. And this whole thing is going, man, it's going. The whole idea of the death penalty as an appropriate punishment, I don't even want to talk about it. Grumpy Tommy Lee Jones pulls a Michaela goes viral. That's right. The Summer Olympics not impressed gymnast has some Hollywood competition. Remember that girl that had that kind of squirreled up looking face?
Yes.
She had that kind of chewing on her lip. Tommy Lee Jones, the 66-year-old Lincoln star, scowled during Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig's otherwise adored comedy presenting bit in which the plot of his movie Hope Springs was botched. And now that scowl has gone as viral as Michaela's did. Jones, the picture of his mean mug is being juxtaposed against that other snarly cyber sensation, Grumpy Cat.
Woo!
Now here's a story, man, that just is, I don't know, this is like nuts. 6 years ago, there was an automobile accident on Pacific Coast Highway involving a Ferrari. Pacific Coast Highway here in the Los Angeles area. some nut was driving a Ferrari, and it got split in half. I mean, right down the middle, the thing got busted in half. Now, the same guy has been arrested yet again for, I think, another, I don't know what was it, maybe this was a Ferrari accident. The passenger of a Ferrari that split in half 6 years ago after a collision on PCH was arrested Sunday in Beverly Hills on suspicion of evading police in another super-powered sports car. The car was allegedly traveling at such high speeds that Beverly Hills police officers trying to make a traffic stop were unable to pursue him. Officers said they were trying to pull over Trevor Michael Carney, age 32, to notify him about a restraining order when he fled. A restraining order.
So he's bothering some woman. He's driving fast. This is, it's right out of Breathless, Phil. Do you remember Breathless?
The film?
No, the pancake mix. Yes, the film.
What do you mean a pancake mix?
Well, what do you think I'm talking about?
Margaret, it could be a song, it could be a book.
No, it's a film. Breathless had the very sexy and the very immortal Jean-Paul Beaumont. Or you might know him as Belmondo. That's the way Americans say it.
I know Jean-Paul Belmondo. I've heard that. I've never heard Jean-Paul Beaumont.
That, here we go again. Boy, you don't know anything. The French pronunciation.
Yeah, but that doesn't sound anything like it.
Excuse me, I'll deal with you later. Jean-Paul Beaumont. Right? Now, he was in the film Breathless, I think, with that wonderful French actress. Her name was, I don't know what it was. It was Candy something. It was just amazing. It's about a psycho. It's about, you keep talking about psychopaths and sociopaths, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what he was. He was an extremely virile and attractive and dangerous man that this girl, Bridget, it might have been Gina Lola. What is the one, Gina Bordeaux?
Margaret, you just said that great French actress.
I know, I've heard. It's Bridget,
Bridget Lola Brigida. I don't know who the hell that is.
If you're screwing with me.
Margaret, I don't know who you're talking about.
I'll look it up, Miss Gray, find out.
Look it up, will you, for God's sake? She's fantastic.
How can you say she's fantastic and you don't know her name?
I know. It's Gina Bola...
Gina Bola Brigida.
No.
No?
So you are messing with me.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to figure out. French actress, 50s?
Yes, it was made in the 50s.
Jean-Paul Belmondo? Was it Gene...
Gene Rayburn.
I'm going to kick...
All right, hold it, hold it.
Kick your ass.
Don't go Christian Bale on us here, okay?
Oh, my God. Wait till he hears what you...
He doesn't care. I don't know. Who are some French actresses?
I'm trying to look it up right now.
Somebody look it up on IMDb.
In any event, he is wildly sexy, Jean-Paul Beaumont, and this French slut, she's a wonderful actor, I can't remember, but they go on this wild joyride through the countryside, etc., in the city, and he's escaping the police, very sexy. Now, this man strikes me as he might be the same type. Restraining order, hello, that means a girl. Sports car, hello. Love speed, running away from cops. Women love that.
Now, wait just a minute, Margaret.
No, I'm sorry. Women love it.
Well, okay. Now, you know, you are... That's, you talk about painting with a broad brush.
What do you mean women love it?
I'm saying that women love it. Women may deny it, but women love it. We love it.
So women love really dangerous guys that could get them killed.
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, we do. We don't know at the time they're going to get us killed, and we certainly don't hope that that happens, but we can't avoid, they're irresistible, just irresistible.
Well, it may be, you know.
You're not even going to argue with me?
No, I'm not going to argue with you. It could very well be. I mean, I've seen women that find guys like that sexy beyond words. You know, it always winds up bad, never winds up good, never, never, ever.
It never winds, what about Frank and I?
You're trying to tell me that Mr. Gray is driving around like that?
No, but what if, well.
What if he did? All right, now we got another one here. Gina Lola Brigida, was that who was in that movie? Breathless? Was Jean-Paul Belmondo? Maybe it was. That was Dan.
Yes, thank you, Dan. Gina Lola, what is it?
Gina Lola Brigida.
Gina Lolo. Oh, I know. So the French would be Gina Lolo Brigida. Gina Lobrigida. Gina Lobrigida, yeah.
You butchered it up. That can't be what it is.
Why don't you shut up before I shut you up?
All right. I don't know where we're going with this, but you were making the point that guys that drive really fast cars and are threatening violence against their woman, they're actually really sexy and women dig that.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm not saying I disagree with you. I'm not saying that I disagree with you. I think that that's the epitome of masculinity. It's kind of like a guy really being attracted to a woman with large breasts and a great ass and a 19-inch waist and the big lips and the blonde hair, like a Playboy bunny. In other words, it's not as dangerous, although who knows, but it's like it's the same veneer, do you think?
Well, I think the Jean-Paul Bimont is more, there's more substance there than what you just described. I think women that are interested in a psychopath that could very well end the night, you know, by making the most incredible love to them and then cutting their throats from ear to ear, that's terribly exciting.
What?
Oh, don't give me...
Are you out of your mind?
Are you a woman?
No, I'm not. If you said yes, then I'd know you're, you know...
If you said yes to me...
No, I'm saying... Never mind. I just think what you just said there is the most psychotic thing I've ever heard.
Oh, get a grip, will you, Phil? Would you get a grip? Would you wrap your hand around it and just squeeze? You know what? Why don't you go straight to...
Oh, here she goes.
Yeah, here she goes. You've got no respect at all.
I got no respect at all. I got no respect. Here's a woman sitting here telling me that it's terribly exciting to go out with a guy, drive fast, run from the cops, split the car in half, restraining order on the guy. He makes passionate love to a woman and then slits her throat from ear to ear, and that's terribly exciting.
That's right. And I'm sorry to have to do this. Where's the toilet paper, for God's sake?
Would you put toilet paper in there, bud?
What?
Put toilet paper in there. We'll take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Harvey Weierman's going to join us in just a moment to talk about the legal ramifications of all of this as we join Harvey for Legal Talk on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Back in just a moment.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
What? You've got no respect.
I can't hear you.
You've got no respect.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking with Margaret and Bud, and though Margaret's still indisposed, she was upset with me because I had we had an argument. The actress, by the way, was Jean Seberg in the film Breathless, which was remade with Richard Gere. And sounds like it ought to be remade a couple more times because it's like as timeless a story as there is. This sort of psychopathic guy, this exciting guy who leads this woman astray. At the end of the Richard Gere version, I didn't see the Jean-Paul whatever.
I told you, Jean-Paul Bimont. If you want to say Belmondo. God.
Yeah, I'd like to say Belmondo. At the end of the Richard Gere one, they wind up shooting him, the cops. Let's get on the line here, Chris Norton. Chris is a telemarketer from Redondo Beach, California. He's also an aspiring adult film producer. Chris, you have been on our program before, contributing in matters having to do with, men, women, the social scene, although this may be a little bit far afield for you. Did you ever see, or are you familiar with anyone in your life, or maybe perhaps some behavior on your own part, where you kind of push the envelope in terms of danger with women to impress them?
That's sort of a hard question to answer because for me, first of all, I don't really have, and I'm, you know, I'm not trying to talk about myself like I think I'm special or anything, but I don't have a really go out of my way to impress women, because I just, in my life, and, you know, it's just sort of the way it's been for me, is I've been very successful luring, you know, having women go to bed, you know, with me, and I've never had to.
Have you ever, so you've never tried to impress a woman?
I mean, I do impress women by the way that I walk and the way I sit and have a drink. Those areas.
What does that mean? What do you mean, the way you walk?
The way I, who am I speaking with, by the way?
My name is Margaret Graham, a journalist.
Oh, yeah? How you doing?
Just save it, Chris. I'm asking some questions. When you say you impress women...
Yeah, when you say that you impress women with your walk...
Yeah, I mean, there are areas where I am very impressive. First of all, my face impresses them. By that, I mean, when they look at my face, it's good to look at.
You're handsome.
Yeah, sir. I'm handsome. My face, the way I walk, just the way I stride, I've got a certain stride where I move my shoulders as well as my feet, and it all just looks good. And then I will sit on the bar, the way I sit at the bar stool, or at when I order a drink or something, like a Captain Morgan's, a Coke.
Okay, the way you sit
the way you sit at a bar stool.
I don't know, not sit at a bar stool.
The way you sit on a bar stool.
Yeah, I've had women tell me that they watch me. I will spend anywhere from, I will spend anywhere from, say, 5 hours to 7 hours sitting on a bar stool. And women have watched me for that long.
So you are warming a bar stool 5 to 7 hours a day?
No, not a day. I mean, maybe every other day.
What do you do? You're a telemarketer.
Yes, sir.
You're a telemarketer, and yet you're spending every other day 5 to 7 hours on a bar stool?
Well, it's the same bar stool. It's one of the things you need to understand, Mr. Henry, and you, Ms. Gray, is that I'm not trying to be egotistical or anything, but my face, you ask me what attracts women. My face does. The way that I walk, I slide more than walk.
You slide.
What does that mean on a slide?
I'm sorry?
What's that mean, the slide?
But is that like a Texas slide?
No, man, it's not a Texas slide. That's more of a dance, which they do at a Rusty Pelican. See, what I do is I hang at a Rusty Pelican in Manhattan.
You mean Manhattan Beach?
No, I actually Hermosa, or Redondo Beach. That's in Redondo Beach.
And you're in Redondo Beach at the Rusty Pelican?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, and so I am there generally most nights, and I do see when they have, like, they'll have the cook-off, they have the glide-off, which is just basically most guys will just walk to the bar and order a drink, and chicks judge it.
And the women are what?
The women are judging our walk, which we call the glide-off.
All right, a glide-off.
Yeah, that, I'm sorry to say, Mr. Norton, this is Bud Dickman.
Yeah.
You ever heard of, I think it's unfortunate, you ever heard of Astroglide? Yeah, see?
Yeah, that's a good point about Astroglide.
Oh, would you ask them to clean it up?
You guys shut up.
Yeah, you know something, man? Don't even go there, man, okay? That's got nothing. I glide. My walk is like, I glide, okay? You talk about Astroglide. Okay, if I have Astroglide, and only if I have Astroglide, I have the Astroglide, and I, you know, I'm, well, I don't want, how much do you want me to say, Mr. Henry?
I don't want you guys to talk about this at all. That's how much I want you to say. Get off of this topic, okay?
He talked about Glide.
You're the guy that brought up Astroglide. I don't want to hear about it, okay? Go ahead, Chris.
Anyway, Mr. Henry, as I was saying, we have a glide-off, we have a swing competition, a lot of times I'm a DJ for it, you know, because I do have a mobile DJ service called Norton Splode.
Your DJ mobile service is what, Norton Splodes?
Norton Splodes.
Norton Splodes.
Well, no, it's Norton Splodes.
Norton Explodes.
Well, that's not what I'm hearing.
Yeah, you're not saying that.
I am. Say Norton Splode.
All right, Norton Explodes. And have you ever encountered, or in your own life, have you ever been sort of that crazy, way out, danger, you know, risk-taking guy?
I mean, I'm just naturally a risk-taker. I will drive fast. I like to just, you know, go for it. If I go out on a date, which I really don't go out on a date, I just, you know, pick a woman up. I will drive by and I keep the car rolling. I do ask her to jump in, but that's not to be rude. But I'm always go, go, go. So when I drive by, I do ask them to be out on the curb. I leave the door open and I go, hurry, and I'm doing about 5 miles an hour. And
so you never slow down and
you treat these women as if they're just things.
No, I don't. No, ma'am. No, I don't.
Well, you're asking them to jump in to a moving car. You don't even stop. You don't go to the door. My God, if I were going out with you...
Well, you know, thank God for small favors.
You know something, Sonny boy? In my day, I'd have burned you to the ground. That's right. Burned you down.
Well, I mean, you know, all I'm saying is...
You and your Astroglide.
See, that's not fair, Mr. Henry, saying that I use Astroglide.
Well, you brought up Glide, so... So Chris Norton is in the Rusty Pelican Glide-Off every...
Every Thursday night, and that starts at 10.
Every Thursday night at 10, the Glide-Off, and you're also the DJ that night.
Yeah, I'm also the DJ, so come on in and request a song. But then I'm in a Glide-Off, too.
Phil Henry.
You gotta bring your own glide.
Shut up.